بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم الحمد لله my dear brothers الحمد لله we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for all the ni'mat that Allah سبحانه وتعالى has given us and the tawfiq to be able to come to the masjid and to perform our Salatul Asr with Jama'ah. My dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that the success of all mankind is in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when we obey the commandments of Allah in the way of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will get the success of this life and the life of the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Quran that Allah has created the man and jinn only for his worship. So my dear brothers, for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent all the Anbiya alayhimus salam to this world to guide the mankind towards the success of this life and the hereafter. And all the Anbiya alayhimus salam, they came with only one message. And that is the kalimah la ilaha illallah. That, O mankind, if you obey Allah in the way of life of your Nabi, then you will be successful in this life and the year after. So this kalima, my dear brothers, is a very virtuous kalima. If you put the kalima on one pen and the seven earth and the seven heavens on the other pen, then this kalima is much more heavy. Once Musa alayhi salam was having a stomach ache, so he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him shifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to go to a certain plant and to take the leaves of the plant and make into a potion and to drink it. Alhamdulillah, his pain was gone. On another occasion, he again had a stomach ache. And he went to the plant and take the leaves and make it into a potion and drank it. And this time, the pain was even worse. So he was surprised and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam that, O Musa, the first time you asked me, so I put the shifa in those leaves. But this time, you went straight to the leaves to get your cure, but the leaves cannot give you any benefit or harm. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give the benefit or harm. So even the Anbiya alayhi salam, they have to learn iman from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my dear brothers, the only way in which we can get the success of this life and the hereafter is by following the sunnah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no other way of life for a man to get the success of this life and the year after, except by following the sunnah of our Nabi. Man ahya sunnati faqad ahabbani, wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah. Whoever follows my sunnah, he loves me, and whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have showed us the perfect way of life. From the time you wake up in the morning until the evening at night, everything that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam does is a guidance for us. Sahaba Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only they followed the life of our Nabi, but they have firm yaqeen. Whatever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is haq. Once people asked Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, how was your situation that night when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah? And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked you to sleep on his bed. And that time, the youngsters of the Quraysh, they have gathered around the house of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the intention to kill him. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, that was the first night since I became a Muslim that I slept so soundly. So the people were surprised. How could you be in that situation? Even now, if a person outside is with a gun and he's going shooting the gun and we are in the masjid, how can we feel comfortable? What more to go and sleep? So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu explained that before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam left, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave me all the amana of the Quraysh and requested me to return it to them. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, after that, come to Yathrib and meet me there. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that I will meet him in Yathrib, then I have the firm yakin that tonight the Malakul Maut will not take my life. This was the yakin that was in the life of the Sahaba in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is the example for us today, my dear brothers. Each sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be performing the sunnah with the yaqeen in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after iman is salah. And salat is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reckon on the day of judgment. If our salat is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all our other amals will be accepted. But if our salat is rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all our amal will be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you write the number 1, the value is 1. If you add a 0, it becomes 10. If you add another 0, it becomes 100. And if you add further zeros, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1 million, and it go on increasing. But if you remove the number 1, then all the zeros that comes is worthless. It is still 0. So that one is salah. That's why, my dear brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fear Allah in a matter of salah, fear Allah in a matter of salah, fear Allah in a matter of salah. So important is salah that Allah advised the fathers and mothers that when the child reaches the age of 7, ask him to pray. Not just to ask, teach him to pray. That means before he was 7 years old, he should be taught how to perform the salat correctly. And if by the age of 10, he still refuses, then you can cane him. So my dear brothers, we should be very, very concerned and particular about our salat. Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they took care of their salat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person who is particular about his salat and perform it at its correct time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him 5 blessings. Firstly, Allah will make his rizq easy for him. Secondly, Allah will remove from him the punishment of the grave. Thirdly, he will get the book of good deeds in his right hand, a sign that he is successful. Fourthly, he will cross the bridge of Sirat with the speed of lightning. And fifthly, he will enter Jannah without reckoning. So my dear brothers, we should be very particular about our salat with Jama'ah. Sa'd bin Sa'd radiallahu anhu reported that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give good tidings to those who go to the masjid in the hours of darkness, for they will get a perfect light on the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so much concerned about performing salat with Jama'ah that once he said that he would like to request to ask the boys to pick the firewoods and give to him, and he will go to one by one of the houses of those who perform their salat in their houses. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so merciful. He could not even bear to see any pain on his ummah, but he was ready to burn the houses. This shows, my dear brothers, that salat in Jama'ah is a compulsory amal for me to perform. If a person makes wudu with right performance and then goes to the masjid for salat with Jama'ah, then each step that he takes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him one blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him one sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise his status in the akhirah by one's status. So my dear brothers, we should have the yaqeen that through the salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill all our needs and Allah will solve all our problems. وَاسْتَعِنُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَةِ. Seek help with patience and salat. We hear the stories of Sahaba, how with two rakat of Allah of salat, they can take from the hazana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One Sahabi was on a journey and his donkey died. He made two rakat of salat and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, you are the one that give life to this donkey and you are the one that gives it death, and on day of judgment you will raise this donkey back to life again. O Allah, if you want to bring this donkey back to life again, even now, you have the power to do so. It is said, my dear brothers, that the donkey came back to life and lived for a few hundred years until the time of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. And whenever Imam Shafi goes to the market and see the donkey, he will point to it and say, this is the donkey that came back to life with two rakat of the salat of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So my dear brothers, we should make efforts on our salat. That our salat, my dear brothers, there is full concentration. We remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the first takbir until we give the salam. And this requires effort. It does not just come by reading the hadith and Quran, but we have to make the effort. That is why, my dear brothers, one reason why we are asked to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to make the practice to bring the reality of salat into our life. And of course, to perform salat and all other commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to have knowledge. We must know at each moment of time, at every situation, what is the command of Allah and how to perform it in the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For instance, we want to eat. What is the command of Allah? That is, we eat food that is halal. And how do you eat? In the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So my dear brothers, this ilm is so virtuous that a person who goes out to seek knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the way to Jannah easy for him. And if he were to die while seeking knowledge, then on the day of judgment, his status will be just one status below the Anbiya alayhimus salam. So knowledge, my dear brothers, is very essential. If we don't have knowledge, my dear brothers, then we are not able to perform the amal correctly. And together with knowledge, we should have the zikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever remembers Allah, Allah remembers him. And whoever remembers Allah in a gathering, Allah remembers him in a much more auspicious gathering, and that is of the malaika. So we should read the Quran every day. For the best remembrance of Allah is recitation of the Quran. Then we should make zikr in the morning and also in the evening. My dear brothers, if a person is constant in his zikr morning and evening, inshallah, he will not die until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him a wali Allah. My dear brothers, we should make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah himself asks us to make dua and that he will give us whatever we ask for. So a person who does not make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is ungrateful. So we should make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day. Of course, there are times when dua is more accepted. But that does not mean that we only wake up for tahajjud and at that time we make the dua that we want. No, my dear brothers, at every time of the day, we can make dua to Allah. Even after azan until iqamah, that time, my dear brothers, dua is accepted. So, my dear brothers, we should make dua not only for ourselves, but we should make dua also for the whole ummah. We are Muslims. We are a brotherhood. We are not an island that looks after himself, but we are one brotherhood. And we should have concern also for others. And we should respect our Muslim brothers, because in his heart there is the kalima la ilaha illallah, and therefore he is very valuable in the eyes of Allah. Even though he may be committing sins, he does not perform salat, But that is between him and Allah. But between me and him, I should be respecting him and should have good impression of him. If we go out in the street and we see a piece of paper lying near the rubbish, then we feel that it's not proper for it to be there. So what will we do? We pick up the paper and clean it and put it in a much more auspicious place. This is a piece of paper and we give it so much value. What about the heart of a Muslim that have the kalima la ilaha illallah? How much we should respect him. And all these deeds that we do, my dear brothers, we should do it only for the sake of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at our riches. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at our faces. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the intention in our heart and the nature of our deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts those deeds that are done with sincerity. Ali radiallahu anhu was one in the battle. He has overthrown his enemy and was about to kill him. And the enemy then spat at him. He then removed himself and did not kill him. So the enemy was surprised and asked him, why? He said, when I came out in the path of Allah, my intention was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you spat at me, my anger overcame me. And if I were to kill you then, I will kill you, not for the sake of Allah, but because of my anger. This was how they were able to guard their intention. Whatever amal that they do it only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bought the life and the wealth of the mu'min. And in return, Allah has given Jannah. So our life and our wealth does not belong to us. It is an amanah. We cannot use our time, we cannot use our wealth as we please. We have to use it according to the wishes of Allah. And who are our example? Our examples are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how they used to spend their life and their wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they know the value of amals in Makkah and Medina. 100,000 in Makkah and 50,000 or 1,000 in Medina. But they left Makkah, they left Medina, and they went out to all parts of the world to call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they understood, my dear brothers, this ummah is special. Unlike the previous ummah, this ummah is special. All the previous ummah, Allah gave them only one duty, and that is to practice the deen in their life, to obey Allah in the way of their Nabi. But this ummah, my dear brothers, Allah has given us two duties. One, like the duty of the previous ummah, to obey Allah in the way of our Nabi. And secondly, my dear brothers, to continue the work of the Anbiya, calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last of all Nabi. No Nabi will come after him. But the work of calling people towards Allah, this has to be done until the day of Qiyamah. For this, Allah has selected this ummah to do this effort. And my dear brothers, this is a responsibility that we have to account for on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, Allah will not ask only about our salah, but even this duty of calling people towards Allah, Allah will call us. There was a jamaat that went to Japan, and alhamdulillah, one Japanese young man became a Muslim. He was very happy. Later he became angry, and he took the jamaat to the graveyard of his grandfather and grandmother, and he told the jamaat, "Why didn't you come earlier? If you had come earlier, then my grandfather and my grandmother could become Muslims. As you had come now, I became a Muslim. But now they died as kafir." He said, "On the day of judgment, I'm going to ask Allah why the Muslim did not come and call us towards you." So, my dear brothers, this work is not just a pastime that we spend our time and then do our amals and then we come home. This is a responsibility. As we feel responsible to our children, this duty also, my dear brothers, is a responsibility that we have to carry out as the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this reason, my dear brothers, it's very important that we should divide our time according to the way shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They were not going for 4 months or for 40 days or for 1 year. When they went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no return ticket. They go out and they don't know when they will come back. Even Sahaba has gone all the way to China. The people of China said, there are graves of Sahaba in China. The people of Turkey said, there are graves of Sahaba in Turkey. The people of Morocco said, there are graves of Sahaba in Morocco. Even the people of Indonesia said, there are graves of Sahaba in Indonesia. These are evidence, proof to us that we are not just created to make ibadat, that this effort is a responsibility that we have to take on ourselves. We have to go, whether young or old, rich or poor. This is our purpose of life. This is our mission of life. And whatever may be our condition, we should be going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no state by where we can say, Alhamdulillah, I've done enough. Now, let the youngsters do it. And I can, you know, stay and just perform my amal. No, my dear brothers. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, once he wanted to go out with the Jamaat. He was 93 years old. And his son said to him, Father, we have done so much khidmat for deen. You were the host to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he came to Yathrib. You stay at home, and we the young ones, we will go out in the path of Allah. And what did Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu said? No, there's one ayat of Quran that does not allow me to stay back. Infiru khifafan wa thiqalan wa jahilu bi amwalikum wa anfusikum fi sabilillah. In a time of ease and difficulty, in the times when it is light or heavy, go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your life and your wealth. He went to the Amir of Jamaat and said that if I were to die along the way, then do not bury me where I die, but take my corpse with you to the place that you are going and bury me there. So when the Amir of Jamaat asked him, why did you make such a request? He said, Inshallah, on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to ask me, O Abu Ayyub, what have you done for my deen? I could say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, when I was alive, I went out in your path. And even after my death, my janazah went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was their spirit. This was their desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever conditions that they are in. And they were finding excuses to go in the path of Allah. It is said of one sahabi, he was lame, Amal bin Jamu. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam excused him from going out in the path of Allah. But his wife wanted him to go out. So she said to him that, you are afraid. That's why you are not going out. Amal bin Jamu radiallahu anhu was so much affected by what his wife said, he went out and made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, do not return me back to my family. He went to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and requested to go. Nabi told him, you are excused, Amr, because of your limb. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want to walk in Jannah with my lame foot. So together with his two sons, they went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they fought until he became shaheed. All three of them became shaheed. So when the wife came to take his janazah back and the janazah was put on the camel refused to go. No matter how they tried to punish the camel, still it would not budge. And when it start walking, you start looking back towards Uhud. This was told to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his wife, "Did Ammar say anything before his departure?" And the wife said, "Yes, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he should not be returned back to his family." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That is why this camel refused to go." So my dear brothers, Sahaba, they are our examples. On the day of judgment, my dear brothers, if I were to stand before the Sahaba, before Allah, looking at his amal, he's asking for Jannah. Looking at my amal, I'm also asking for Jannah. What will be the situation? That's why, my dear brothers, in this work, there is no rest. There is no rest for us to slow down or not to make the same sacrifices as we used to do. Our elders say that this work is just like the steps. You have to take from one step to another step higher and keep on going until the last breath of our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and hidayah that whatever I've said and whatever we have listened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be able to practice and to convey them to others. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.